We do out on the front lines. I figured I would just connect to Pastor Josh and what he's talking about. So we're going to talk about specifically just kind of what I've been doing on the street. There are a lot of frontline workers out there. So I think I might know anywhere between 10 to 20 workers that are out there just in Raleigh regularly. So it's not just me. So I join a bunch. But my first slide here is very untidy, because abortion ministry is very untidy. It's very ugly. And but it's one thing that I really like, especially about Love Life, is that, you know, when our country is not at war, you know, the Army and the Navy and the Marines, they can bicker and tweet and argue against each other and play football and all that stuff. But when the country goes to war, all that's pushed aside. And their differences are pushed aside. And then they line up for one objective, which is to win that war. And that's exactly what I see God doing with Love Life Ministry and with the church right now. I really believe we're in a historical moment in regard to the abortion issue. And I think technology has helped us out a lot. Science, videos, but it's a battle. And it's been around for a long time, thousands of years. And so, but I really believe that we are in the midst of an awesome move of God. Now, obviously, when people went to war in the past, you know, there were those that had the option for conscientious objection, right? I don't believe in this war, so I'm going to step out. Well, that's not an option for us in this one. There's no conscientious objection. We're all enlisted. Right? We're all in this battle. We're either fighting or we're not. And so this morning, I just want to go through basically what one day at the abortion clinic would look like. Just going to the abortion clinic for one day if you go to the front lines. So the Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 8, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. There's absolutely a time to pray and fast. But there's also a time to speak up and to stand up and to stand out. And so sometimes, you know, when it comes to frontline abortion clinic ministry, we are there to be seen and to be heard on behalf of those children that are being overlooked. The orphans in the womb, so to speak, right? They're unwanted by their mothers and their fathers, but they're wanted by God and they're wanted by the church. And they're wanted by people who can't have children. So there's no such thing as an unwanted child. And so we are there to be seen and to be heard and to speak out. But as Pastor Josh was saying, we're not coming with condemnation. We're coming with hope. We're coming with help. And so we have two clinics in Raleigh. And this is kind of the map you guys probably know. But so this is like... you know, getting your military sights, right? This is where you want to drop your prayer bombs, okay? So if we're looking at it from above, you've got the busiest one here, which is a preferred women's healthcare center of Raleigh. That's the one that we went to last year, and that's the one that I go to regularly on Tuesdays. And then up here off Drake Circle is Woman's Choice of Raleigh, and those are the two busiest. Now, we will be going to the one up north this Saturday, and they have kind of an island in the middle of the street where we can all gather. Actually, Jim came with me out there one time, or maybe even a couple times, but we've got a good place to pray out there. It's really worn in. The grass has been turned to dirt out there from the prayer warriors being out there. So I want to encourage you to come out. But prayer is a weapon of mass destruction in regard to the enemy. And so these are our clinics. We adopt these. This is the church's responsibility, right? And so whether we like it or not, these two clinics are open because of the church. Because of the church. And so we can unite together to see that they just go belly up, that there's no more business. That's exactly what it is. It's a business. So the first thing we do when we come out to the abortion clinic as we pray. And this is Drake Circle, and this is where a lot of people will gather and pray, and the abortion clinics up in the back. Most abortion clinics put a fence around the front, so you know, people can't hear and can't see you, but that's where we'll be going this weekend. This was the first time, when I went to the abortion clinic the first time in Raleigh, this was the first clinic I went to, and I spent most of my time crying and weeping because I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked that this is happening in our culture and in our country. It's so easy to just push it aside. But I felt literally like if you were in Germany and you just stood outside Auschwitz or the gas chambers for the first time and just watched, you know, if you have a heart, you're going to be affected. And so I was just weeping and shocked that so many people go there. And not just that, but that the workers that work there, they're the escorts that escort people from their cars to the front doors. We call them death escorts. They are some of the most blind by the devil, blinded by Satan, people I've ever met. And I've been on the college campuses enough to know there are some deceived blind people out there, and very hostile to the gospel, very hostile to Christianity, very hostile to pro-life and family and marriage. But I have never, ever met anybody as hostile as some of the escorts that work at this particular clinic. They're the devil's evangelists. I mean, they are there and they are on a mission to see that babies are killed. And so we've got to pray. When we go and we pray, you know, we always just pray, God, that you would change hearts, obviously, of the abortion workers, of those going into the clinic. So often, somebody is just waiting for a sign from God. I mean, it happens all the time. You know, we'll see someone pull in, and they're hesitant already. And it's not like necessarily we've changed their mind. It's just we've been that sign. That they were praying, God, just send someone to stop me or provide a sign, provide something, you know, put something in my way. And then all of a sudden, you know, Greg the preacher standing in front of them. You know, as a matter of fact, at this clinic, I was about to wrap up and leave, and a car pulled in the parking lot next door. A young black couple started walking in, and the lady made a beeline for the door, and the guy was just walking really slow, and I got up right in front of him, and I said, man, give me 20 seconds, give me 20 seconds. And I just gave him my spiel. And you know what he said to me? He said, I just got out of the car. I was praying and asking God to give me a sign. I mean, as he was getting, I said, is that your girl? Is that your baby in there? And he said, yeah. I said, man, you got to go get him. You got to go get him. So he went in there, but I think she still went through with it. But nevertheless, you know, Christians, we get to be an answer to prayer, you know, to those who are seeking an additional sign to help them stop. You know, this is a spiritual battle. And so we're asking God to change hearts. Number two, we introduce ourselves. You know, so often, whether I have amplification or not, I introduce myself. I am Greg. I'm a Christian. I love God. I care about you. I'm not here to harass you. I'm here to help you, to give you hope, to provide for your needs, to give you information. And even though there's myself and my buddy Stephen out here, even though there's only two of us, we represent hundreds of Christians that are willing to reach into their own time and their own wallets and help you deliver your baby and care for your baby and even adopt your baby. So we're not just two guys out here. We're representing hundreds of Christians that are ready to just stop and jump in. So that's how we introduce ourselves, and we're willing to help them in any way they need. And so obviously, you know, not everybody responds to that. You can see here, this is at Jones Franklin. They're lined up outside the door. The doors are locked. The sign says closed. Once they flip the sign open, the doors are open and they go in. Well, sometimes we'll get 10, 15 minutes with that crowd outside the clinic, preaching the gospel, offering hope, and every now and then one of them will trickle out and come talk to us. Stephen here is reading scriptures in regard to children and life. And this guy decided to pull his car out and park it here and turn his radio up as loud as possible so that it would drown out the sound of us trying to reach them. Over there on the right, somebody's pulling out of the parking lot, and I'm just offering them some material. We hand out little booklets. They're called Tiny Hands That Hold My Heart, and it's got the development of the child inside. And then we also give reference cards to your choice, Hand of Hope, Pregnancy Center, and information on adoption. Give out gospel tracts. You know, as an evangelist, anytime somebody gives me a few minutes to talk about Jesus, it's a miracle. You know, it's a miracle just to get some time with people about the most important things in the world. Anytime somebody just rolls their window down and gives us, you know, 2 minutes, it's miraculous because it doesn't happen very often. And I'll tell you, people's hearts have been changed. We've been able to pray with so many people just through their car window, and cars are lined up and, you know, honking, get out of the way, you know. It's like, no, we're going to pray for this person and release them. The pizza delivery guy, you know, brings the abortion doctors and the workers all their pizza. He was an atheist. He parked his car and spent 10 minutes with me on the court. So you just never know who's coming in and out of the abortion clinic. But we're there to provide them with resources. Sometimes I will give, because we're there not just to reach the women, but the guys too. I'll have DVDs on abortion. If people show that they're open, we'll give them some more information. And then if someone chooses life, we have volunteers that make little blessing bags. And it's got little books, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, all different kinds of things in it. Just a nice little blessing bag with some onesies or, you know, a stuffed animal. And we'll be able to give those to someone who's decided to choose life. This is where we recommend, you know, just down the street from the clinic. You know, the pro-life movement is intentional about trying to purchase property right next to abortion clinics. So anywhere you find an abortion clinic, you're bound to find a pro-life ministry or something right next door to it. They're very strategic. And so Your Choice Pregnancy Center is just down the street. And, you know, we always encourage them. You can get a free ultrasound. It's all covered. You know, there's no shortage financially in the kingdom of God. God providing for ultrasounds and care and all that. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's unfortunately 1 in 4 miscarry, right? 1 in 4 pregnancies are a miscarriage. And so it's sometimes nice to get an ultrasound to find out if your baby's even alive. Why go to an abortion clinic and pay for an abortion to abort a dead baby? Right? Because they will charge you a few $100 for that. Okay? So we want to encourage them to not only get the ultrasound, but get around Christians above God that can encourage you and that can provide other resources for you. So we recommend resources. And then part of the ministry is pleading with moms. You know, most of what I do is preaching, but I don't feel that this is so much preaching as it's pleading, it's begging. Here is Carita. Some of you that have gotten my newsletter in the past, you know the story about her. She shows up with her boyfriend and the boyfriend's mom. They're walking in. She's dragging behind them really slow. They're going really fast. Come on, come on. They get inside there. They're inside. We're outside pleading with them through the wall. So we're having to preach. This is the lobby right up front here. And then she comes out. And then she walks up to us. And she tells us the story. She wants to keep the baby. Her boyfriend doesn't want it. And the boyfriend's mother is there to make sure she goes through with the abortion. So we're just loving on her, crying with her, praying for her, and then we just encouraged her to be courageous, to trust God. I mean, that's the message we give. Please just trust God in the midst of this, you know? God's not broke. God's able and capable and willing to provide for you and your baby better than you can even imagine if you just avail yourself to his resources. So we pray for her, we cut her loose. Got her contact information. She texted me later on the day. Decided to keep the baby. What? What's your boyfriend think about that? He's very angry. I'm sure he is. Do you have a network? Do you have a community of supporters? Yes, I do. Thank you so much. Thank you for talking to me. You know, that's just, you never know what's going to happen. Here is a Drake Circle in the middle. I'm trying to speak with a couple that's going inside, but the escort here does not want them to hear what I have to say. So they will open up giant umbrellas. They will hold up jackets. They will do everything they can to get in your way. They'll turn their phones on loud. They'll have jam boxes. They'll ding bells. They'll scream and shout because they're not really about choice. They're about making money for this business. And so anyway, and then this is my buddy Zach on the end here. He's faithful. Countless children have been saved from his faithfulness. He's been going out there for years and years. A couple days a week. And so just very encouraged. There's lots of people out there ministering. Not everybody believes in signs, but I do. I'm not necessarily opposed to graphic signs, but it's just not my preference. But I'll tell you what, when you get a couple pull out of an abortion clinic and say, I saw your sign, I heard what you said, we've chosen life. Well, I'm going to use more signs then. Okay, so all right. So, and these are some, you know, obviously will help them keep their baby, you know, and we'll go the distance, whatever it takes. But signs work. Oh, and another thing is Jones Franklin Street is a very, very busy street, as you know. During lunchtime, there's so many cars come by. And you know, everybody has an opinion about abortion. Did you know that? And they'll let you know their view with a horn. I could tell you this. Pro-life. Give a life. We hate you. Pro-abortion. Cars driving by. They'll let you know their position. What finger do they use? Thumbs up, pro-life. Way to go, brother. Thanks for what you do. Middle finger? Well, you know their position on that. Do you get opposition? Of course. Right? Screams, horns, yells, F you, get a life. You're a guy. How can you speak on this? Just go through the gamut. Joy came out there, right? And she said, Pastor John's wife, she says, you know, I've been called names and I've been given the finger before, but never that many times in one day. So if you want to just think in your skin, come out to the abortion clinic. No, that's not why you do it. That's not why you do it. There is opposition, okay? And this is a sensitive spot in our culture. And so just holding a sign out reaches hundreds of people as they're driving by, either affirming them or convicting them. Every now and then, people will pull off the road, get out of their car, and come up to us and say, thanks, I got an abortion, I regretted it, I'm so thankful for what you've done, I came to Christ, got forgiveness, and I'm just standing with you guys, and I'll keep praying for you. Happens quite often. Or they'll pull in even sometimes with their own daughter or son in the back of the car. I was thinking about aborting, but I didn't. I mean, those things, you know, in the day in the life of a missionary, those are like diamonds just to hear those things. But also people pull off the side of the road and run up in your face and, you know, and will almost get violent with you at times. We've had people that seem to be, whether they were demon-possessed or possessed by drugs or bipolar, just peel out and pull out and threaten. I had a guy pull a gun on me one time. He didn't point it at me, but he was showing it to me. I said, listen, man, if you're willing to go kill a child, you're probably willing to shoot me. I'm ready to go. But I want you to save your baby. And the cops ended up getting called and He got in trouble for it, but the cops do get called. They'll call the cops on us. They'll come out. How are you guys doing? They're doing all right. You staying across the line? Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Anyway. Holding signs and praying. Had a guy, I've got some friends, some that friends that support the ministry. Every now and then, when they're in the neighborhood, they know we're out there. They'll just pull up, park, get out, and they'll come pray for a half an hour. Just praying for the ministry. And I'll tell you what. It was 2 weeks ago that a brother came, and it was Stephen and I outside the clinic, and he came just to pray. And, you know, about the same time each day, the abortion doctor will pull in the parking lot with a rental car, because I guess he just doesn't want people to know his personal license plate or something. I don't know why, but anyway, pulls in with the rental car, parks. This guy systematically just gets out of his car, throws his backpack on, and just goes straight through for the front door. And the past year, he's never said anything to us, never looked at us, just totally avoided us. When my buddy came out and prayed a couple weeks ago, here he goes, he pulls in the parking lot, gets out of his car, and I'm like, God, give me a verse, give me something, just give me something. And I'm looking in the New Testament, and all my heart was, you know, take heed that you do, where Jesus said, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. And I'm thinking, that's not a very good one. I need something better than that. But I just opened it up and I read it. And I said, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For their angels always see the face of my Father in heaven. Those children, those babies have a direct connection with the Father. He takes it seriously. He turned around and went off on me. He was far away, so I couldn't tell what he was saying. I'm sure it wasn't friendly, but it was the first time he'd ever responded. Well, you know what they say. You throw a brick into a pack of dogs, and one that barks is the one that got hit. So he finally got hit, and the Holy Spirit is working. I believe that in answer to prayer. Right after that, I went over and told my buddy, your prayers woke this guy up. We're going to wake him up. He's going to come to Christ, and he is going to be a trophy of grace. You know, and that is our prayer, you know, for all of those workers, that they would come to Christ and be a trophy of grace. Talking one-on-one happens all the time. This guy, Daniel, he came with his girlfriend begging and pleading her not to abort his child. She went through with it. He came out weeping and crying. We prayed with him, we cried with him, and we watched him leave, weeping and crying in his car as his own son was killed, or daughter was killed that day. You know, it's legal for a mother to kill a father's child as long as the child's in the womb. He had no say-so. He had no choice in the matter. But we got to reach out to him. This guy here, it's a hard picture to see, but this is a Muslim man with his two-year-old son spending some time with us while his wife's getting an abortion. And the Muslims are very open to talking about God, I've found. More open than us, you know, just snotty Americans, I guess, because they're just sensitive. So I was appealing to his fear of God. Don't you fear God? Don't you believe that God created this child in the womb? And he was pacing back and forth. I said, look at your two-year-old. You don't have one child. You're a father of two children right now. And one is about to be executed. You know, abortion doesn't make someone unpregnant. It just makes them a father or a mother of a dead child. And I was appealing to him, even just the fear of the Lord. And you could see conviction in him. And he went off and he started searching his phone and he called his buddy and came back and he said, well, according to my Muslim faith, it's okay to abort until 4 months. I said, really? That's Muslim faith, huh? I think you're just making stuff up. And so then he quit talking to us, but you never know who you can reach. These guys pulled in, and the girl got out to go get an abortion, and there's two or three of them in the car, smoke's rolling out of the windows. I said, you guys are getting high, aren't you? You guys are smoking pot. Come out here and talk to us. So they were getting high, probably getting drunk, just sitting in the car while she's getting an abortion. Get out here and talk. Come on. Come on. come out here and let me just be a big brother to you. Well, I guess he finished his joint and then came out and started talking to me. And so I started, and he, you know, obviously was irrational. He's trying to persuade me why it's okay to kill babies, and you can see I'm not necessarily convinced by his arguments. But him and his buddies eventually came around and talked to us. And so I was able just to love on them as a big brother. You know, I know they're lost. I've been there, done that, you know. And so just appealing to his conscience and sharing the gospel with him. And then the last one here on the right is, she showed up in a taxi one day because she saw they were looking to hire at the abortion clinic. She got out of the car, and so, of course, we hijacked her little trip there and started talking to her and telling her what they do here, and she became convicted, and she aborted her job interview that day. She called a taxi cab and just left that day. So you never know. It might not be stopping someone from getting an abortion, but at least she can, I was encouraging her, you can make money in a way that honors the Lord, where you can lay your head on your pillow at night and have a clear conscience. So anyway, these one-on-one conversations are priceless, but 80 to 90% reject us. So it's a ministry of rejection. It's a thankless, untidy, despicable, necessary ministry, I believe. And so, well, why do you do it? Oh, last one here. If we do make a connection, I do try to get the follow-up information so we can connect them with Love Life, connect them with Hand of Hope, connect them with our church. I can tell you this, our church has risen in regard to being ready to reach in their wallets, to reach in their wallets and provide and help for anybody that is affected from these clinics. So I'm very thankful. I'm just a blessed missionary to being sent out by this church. So this is Karita. This is the one that we prayed for, and we were able to get her contact information. So to hear, hey, I've decided to keep the baby. And here's Ben reaching in again. I told you, it's a miracle if you get some time with them. If they roll down their window, it is miraculous. There was a couple last year. They sat in their car. He came out and talked to me. I got his contact information. He got mine. Let me take that back. No, he just got mine. I didn't get his. Later on that day, I get a phone call. Hey, is this that guy that was standing outside the abortion clinic? Well, who's this? Is this the police? No. Yes, it is. Hey, man, this is, so-and-so. I just wanted to let you know, I just felt obligated to call you and tell you we decided to keep the baby. Wow. No kidding. Can I correspond with you? Can we bless and spoil your baby rotten, please? Sure, that'd be great. So I kept in contact with them. The date was December 17th. So I'm texting, how you doing? She doing okay? Mm-hmm. Yep. Then baby born? Yeah. Baby girl? Yes. Awesome. Well, I'll give you some time with the baby, and we're driving out there. We're going to drive out there with a truckload, and just bless you guys. She texted me back a few weeks later. She lied to me. It wasn't my baby. Broke up with her. She was on her own. That's the world we live in. He won't return a text. That's just part of it. Stinks. Why do you do it? For her. Keep it in contact. Omar and Loretta, I texted them just the other day. How you guys doing? How's the baby? Did you have the baby yet? Yep. Born February 11th. Last summer, Hispanic couple saw our signs, heard our pleading, heard our begging, backed out, pulled out, got prayer, got information, got a blessing bag, commit them to the Lord, and then is willing to text me back over the months. That one is worth every single day. Because that's a little girl made in the image of God. God has a plan for her. And this is what we're called to as a church. We're called to rescue these babies. And there's more where that came from, right? And so to decrease abortion, to increase adoption. And so, just so you guys know, I'm looking to make a trip up to Oxford by Henderson to bless this little girl. So if you guys want to support that, that'd be awesome. And then hopefully we'll get them plugged into a church, maybe a community right there close to them. Pastor Josh already said it. Francis Schaeffer, a Christian theologian and intellectual, he said every abortion clinic should have a sign in front saying, open by permission of the church, right? That's a hard truth, but these are our clinics. We can adopt them. So how can we help? Number one, I want to encourage you guys. He said we had the best turnout last year. Praise the Lord. Okay? And so often, it's the smaller churches that are sometimes the more generous and the more active, right? Because they have a lot less programs and trappings and things like that. So I want to encourage you guys, whether through the app or through the commitment card, please commit. This is the one week that we get to be the Good Samaritan and go to the ditch and reach out. Not only one week, but we can do it for one week. I want to encourage you guys, please, if you saw the statistics, prayer and fast on Wednesdays, it dropped the abortion 70%. Those are measurable statistics. That's amazing to me, you know, that they had zero abortions on that one Wednesday or Saturday or
five Wednesdays in a row. And now essentially they're down to only doing abortions about 5 days a week. They were doing six and now they're drying up. They're down to 5 days a week.
Come on.
And that's the work. That's prayer. That's fasting. You know, Jesus mentioned that, you know, there are some spiritual battles that are only won by prayer and fasting. You know, it's mysterious, but it works. And he gave us the solution. So praying, and I really just want to thank every single one of you because I send texts out. You guys pray for me, and we experience it, and I'm so thankful. I know I'm still alive today probably just because you guys are praying for me. I'm not beat up yet. I'm not run over yet. I'm not thrown in jail yet because of those prayers, and so I appreciate it. And then would some of you join the front lines? Just as your brother, I just want to say, hey, would you come down there on a Tuesday? Or, you know, we try to have at least two people out there every day from 9 o'clock to noon. Even if you can just drive by and pray for a little bit, we need sidewalk counselors. And can I just be blunt? We need some color and we need some women. Okay? Because a couple white boys out there, middle-aged, you already know what the culture says about that. I don't have any white privilege out there, by the way. Okay? I'm telling you, we need representation of the Church of God, okay? We need women because they can connect with women, you know? And so please talk to me. You don't have to commit every week, but please just come out and join us. You can pray. You can pass out literature. And you'll be used by God. Your heart will be broken, and you'll just have a sensitivity to how God wants to use you. Help with the follow-up. Obviously, little Joy was born. Very thankful for that. Looking to have mentors and things like that, counselors. And then number five, be bold and spread the word. And I love the story of William at work, one of his employees thinking about abortion. And William shot straight with her and, you know, put his job at risk to some degree to be bold, to trust God, to be bold, to speak the truth in love, not skirt the truth, to speak the truth in love. And that baby was saved. And it was a team effort, right? Because you're there with her at work. And then there's the front lines people. And then there's all the prayer. So it's the Army, Navy, it's everybody stepping in and working. And so I want to encourage you guys, this is a battle right now. That we're going to win. Be bold and spread the word. Amen? Let's end abortion.